In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. Thomas observes that in achieving an end, the means must be proportionate to the end. And what that basically means is that the means should not overextend to the end so that you don't fall upon the end, or it shouldn't be fall short of it. It should be proportionate to it. And when it comes to riches or to things which we own or possess, a certain measure is required, he says. Measure here means a certain moderation, so that we have neither more nor less than we actually need in order to achieve those things that are proper to our state in life or which will help us to achieve God. The desire of external things is natural to man, as these things are for the sake of an end, and so God created these things so that we make use of them to achieve our ends. But this desire can go to extreme, either in the reception or in the conservation of them, insofar as a man acquires or retains more than he ought, or he allows his interior affections to rest more on them than he ought, insofar as he immoderately loves and desires some riches or things and delights in them. St. Thomas, for him, all this is connected to avarice, insofar as that consumerism and worldliness and things of this sort are merely forms of avarice. While avarice normally is connected to money, it is a bit broader than that, and a form of it is also connected to the immoderately desiring to possess things, insofar as we have more than we need or ought to have according to our state in life. Now, avarice, or this particular immoderate problem that people often have, is a vice which leads to other sins, he says, such as theft, because if you want things, you're going to steal in order to get them, robbery, pursuits of other pleasures, in other words, people will try to chain things so that they can get certain pleasures out of them, a meanness, hardness of heart, or an inclemency, as he says, which is insofar as we are unwilling to mitigate the sufferings and needs of others by our own means, because we just want to retain and keep these things. Prodigality, waste. In other words, people will waste a lot of money acquiring something that's not worth a whole lot. Spiritual inquietude, because of our attachment to these things. In other words, they pull us this way and that when we're attached to them. Treason, as we see in those who are willing to sell out this country in order to make a buck. Parsimoniousness, that is, that a person doesn't want to spend any money or cheap, unwillingness to share, or willing to be, defraud others, as we see in this country among those defrauding the elderly out of their retirements and things of this sort. It can lead to a lack of friendship because money or things become more important than people. A certain softness or effeminacy that can arise as people seek these things to make their life comfortable, rather than seeking what is best for their virtue, or even being cheap with God, as you see people who will spend, as I mentioned before, more on their Starbucks bill in a week than they give in the collection. All of these things arise against the virtue of what St. Thomas calls simplicity, and the authors, spiritual authors, call simplicity. Simplicity, according to the spiritual writers, is attached to the virtue of veracity, which places truth in speech, gestures, and all matters of being and living. In other words, veracity is the virtue in which we're truthful in all the things that we do, in what we say, and in things of this sort. Simplicity, in fact, is opposed to veracity because we interiorly wish something other than what externally we pretend to be the case. Those who are worldly or desire to possess a lot of things without in order to seek their joy in them and happiness, do so other than God. So in other words, it's against veracity because as Catholics we know that our only true happiness rests in God, and yet we're pursuing all these things to satisfy us when they won't. Simplicity is contrary to complexity. And complexity in the spiritual life means that we bifurcate or split up our desires and affections between God and the world. It's a kind of hypocrisy, or what is sometimes called the sin of simulation. We come to Mass on Sunday and look all sanctimonious, but the rest of the week we Our solicitude is really about things rather than God. While the virtue of simplicity is much broader than this, it encompasses moderation in our external possessions, so that we only own or possess what is necessary, neither more nor less, according to our state in life. Simplicity reflects the fact that we think created things are a means to God and not an end in themselves. It maintains our singular focus on God, and our affections are at rest in Him alone, rather than all the different things which pull us this way and that because of our attachments to them. Father Gregory Lagrange observes that this complexity in our lives constitutes an instability in its contradiction, especially in our interior lives. So the moral of the story is, if you find emotionally you get upset because, you know, somebody runs over your dog, or somebody, you know, destroys your petunias in the front yard, if you're getting upset about these things, it means that you don't have the virtue of simplicity or detachment. You know, those who went through the Depression are perfect examples of the virtues of simplicity. Many of them grew up and they were just the necessities of life were hard to obtain. So the idea of blowing large sums of money on things you don't need was just completely foreign to them. You see this, for example, my grandparents were that way. Before they died, they had the virtue of simplicity. They did not own anything they didn't need or didn't have a use for them within the short term, except for one thing, a television. Other than that, everything they had, they made use of. They didn't own anything. In fact, when they died, there was practically nothing to sell or get rid of because of the fact that they only owned what they actually needed. They did have a few, of course, pictures and things here and there of Our Lady and Our Lord and things of that sort. And these, though, can be seen as connected to something not so much absolutely necessary, but suitable towards our spiritual life. But even those have to be moderated. But then you see kind of counter examples today. You know, people go to stores and they're hauling stuff out and you're like, well, we need to make use of all that. One time I was at this family's house because they asked me to bless it, and the upstairs was, you know, kept and orderly and very Catholic looking with all the statuary and pictures and things of that sort. But when I went downstairs to bless the rest of the house, there was a room that was about 20 feet long, 12 feet wide, and the normal height. It was stacked. I mean stacked. We're talking piled, 20 feet long, 5 feet wide and 6 feet high with toys. You could have jumped inside it and swam to the other end. I bet you there were thousands, literally thousands. And I'm like, your kids don't need this. This is bad for them. This engenders in children affections and things other than God. And they're always looking to get the next best toy, that type of thing. Now, this doesn't mean that children shouldn't have toys, because this is necessary for their proper development, but only as a means to that and not as some way of satisfying the kid all the time. You know, sometimes the kid's like, Mom, can I have this, can I have this, can I have this? You're standing in the line, you know, and you're, can I have this, can I have this? And they just give the thing to the kid to shut him up when really he needs smacked. But the point is that this is something which is a real thing. Now, it doesn't mean parents have a legitimate natural law inclination to want to please their children in those things, but they have to be subordinated to virtue. A lot of times it's not. It's just to keep the kid quiet, and that's not good. So how do we gain the virtue of simplicity in our externals, which is part of the virtue also of modesty? Insofar as modesty is a virtue that regulates not just our dress, but all our externals. Well, there's a general principle. If you don't need it, don't buy it. That's the general principle. Now, a lot of times people will go to the store and then they'll buy all this stuff and they end up with buyer's remorse because they got so much stuff, you know, they can barely get it into they're packing it into their car and it's hanging out the windows, etc. But the thing is, if you don't need it, don't buy it. Reduce your possessions down to what you really need. If you got stuff coming out your ears, get rid of it. If you don't have a use for it within a year, or you're not going to haven't used it in a year, either sell it or get rid of it. Just keeping that stuff around is either a vice of hoarding or you're just a sign of attachment. You're just not letting loose of it. You have to work on detachment from these things. When it comes to things you don't need, such as certain things which might make living easier or more suitable or decorous within the family and things like that, stick to what is best and only what is truly going to help your family spiritually. If it's not, get rid of it. Recognize teaching your children proper moderation in these things is more work than satisfying their crying, whining, and their appetites, but it's your job. Your job as an adult, as a parent, is to get your child to the age of majority with a good Catholic faith and in a state in which his soul is endowed with virtue. It's not to, you know, have him to have everything under the sun. Prayer. If you're lifting your mind and heart to God, you're lifting it away from created things. And so that's one of the principal ways in order to gain the virtue of simplicity. In fact, people who have a life thoroughly imbued with prayer, where they're praying and that their real desire is to pray, find things an annoyance at a certain level. They're just not really interested in them. In fact, people ask me, you know, Father, wouldn't you like $1 million? I'm like, no, it's like having a kid. You know, it's something you got to take care of. You got to be worrying about it because today people will rip you off if you're not careful. And plus, you got to spend all this time trying to keep it away from the government and everything else. So it's more of a hassle than anything else. And it doesn't mean that somebody who can't make money ought not make money. It just means that you have to have detachment from it, and prayer will help that detachment. You have to recognize that these things cannot ultimately make you happy. Only God can. Plus, there's a matter of fear of the Lord. Worldliness and consumerism or covetousness of these things constitutes a sin against the Holy Ghost of fear of the Lord. Because fear of the Lord, St. Thomas tells us, is a turning away from created things and turning towards God. And this is one of the reasons why, too, people, because we're such a consumer society, this is why people are so incipient in the sense that they are so unwise about their choices because of the fact that they simply are so focused on things that the principles of judgments are things rather than will this lead me to God or not. Those who are worldly desire a lot of things are actually turning to the world rather than God. And this is one of the real problems with complexity in the spiritual life. You see this even among traditionalists. Their heart is really split between God and things. Anytime you buy anything, ask yourself, will this help me or my children or my spouse get to heaven or not? If it won't, don't buy it. This is all a preparation for when things get bad. I think most people will recognize that it's all heading downhill for us here in the United States and in the world. And so when it all implodes, if you already have the virtue of simplicity, it won't bother you. You have to recognize you're not going to be able to continue this level of spending and possessing. The fact that people, when I read this, now whether it's true or not, I'm not so sure, but when I read that the average credit card debt in this country was $80,000, I'm like, we have a serious problem here. It's better to prepare your affections now by not having these things that you don't need, then wait until they're taken from you or everything implodes and you suffer miserably because of all your attachments to them. To the simple of heart, not having these things won't bother them when it finally happens. In fact, it won't even affect them hardly. So you really have to ask yourself, because it's really ultimately a question, what are you going to love, things or God? In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, amen.